Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who are extremely laid back, if I do say so myself.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird?
So, Jonah, I was thinking about how you're like a really enterprising guy. And I was thinking about a business idea you had when we were younger. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Sure. Yeah. A lot of people don't know how enterprising I am, but yeah, big fan of Shark Tank, entrepreneurship. Yep.
You emailed Mark Cuban once and he emailed you back, right?
I did find Mark Cuban's email and I asked him to be on my old podcast and he did write me back right away and said, I've been doing a lot of podcasts, but email me next year. And I still have his email. Yeah.
I know.
We may have to have Mark Cuban on this podcast. I haven't reached out to him in a few years.
Yeah.
You know, when I lived in Cleveland, my friend John, his name is John Stewart, different John Stewart.
Yeah,
different John Stewart than most people know. But he had this idea for a company that we almost started called Surprise Enterprise. The idea was, this was before subscription services were like a big thing like they are now. This was probably like 15 years ago.
Yeah, maybe longer.
And yeah. The idea was you sign up, you go online, you pick like the things you're into, and then every month or every certain amount of time, you get a surprise. And he had this black kind of station wagon. We were going to decorate it called the Surprise Mobile. So you see this like brightly decorated car pull in, you know your surprise is on the way. We come to your door, we say, here's your surprise. You don't know when it's coming. There's like a month window. So we just show up. You have to be home, I guess, but I don't know. We didn't work out
also,
the details.
I just want anyone listening to know that it feels like you're pitching this idea to our guest.
And
I don't know that he's going to invest, but go
he
ahead.
He looks kind of into it, and I think he might want to invest in it.
Okay.
We'll ask him in a minute, but yeah. So we'd show up in the surprise mobile, we'd give you your surprise, and if you didn't like your surprise, you could exchange it for a different surprise.
We would
give you a survey up front to like gauge your size, your interests. And I think it's actually a pretty good idea, but I tried to get our dad involved in this.
Yeah.
This is probably the best part of the story. I went to our dad. I was like, me and John have this idea for Surprise Enterprise. We need some startup capital. You know, would you be interested? And he made it clear that not only was he not interested, he was like, I forbid you from pursuing this. This is such a bad idea.
I mean, I remember you pitching it to me and me being like, you know, I had a lot of questions.
Yeah.
But yeah, our dad was not into it. And, you know, Jonah, you know, I think you're right. Like subscription stuff is really big now. I think some of the elements that might have made it tricky are generally like when you order surprises, they're for other people. So it's, you know, just the ordering a surprise for yourself can be tough because, you know, it's the timing of it and you want to be surprised, but you've also, you know, that you ordered it. So it's like, has its own trickiness. And then I do think the van element, like most people, like I just know as someone who lives in a house now, like if a van were to drive up and be like knocking on my door and being like, surprise, like I would be, you know, scared or I wouldn't answer the door. Also just logistically one van, like what if you got like what if it took off even 100 people?
Okay? Yeah, it would have to be a kind of a local kind of
thing.
Yeah,
it'd have to be real local and pretty small, a pretty small area, you know, but look, when we've looked it up, there are some surprise subscription services, but they're sort of like, they call them surprise, but they use surprise kind of loosely. Like you can order a box of like items from this like person who's going to curate them in a certain way and you get one a month. Like it's not like a van pulls up at a weird time.
Right. But I do think as ahead of, I mean, curation is a huge thing now. Everyone's curating something.
Huge.
Subscription
curation
boxes,
is huge.
I think, you know, you get it for someone else. I don't think it's the worst idea, but I do think it's not totally worked out.
I don't mean to, I do think you were onto something for sure. You know, I don't think you or John should feel bad that you chose to go other ways with your careers. But look, you had this great idea for Surprise Enterprise, really catchy name, Surprise Mobile, really great idea. You know, it doesn't mean you can't still do it.
Yeah, maybe I'll do it. Surprise Enterprise is taken. It's like a life coaching site, which I don't really understand the connection
sort of
there.
Strange. Yeah.
And John also just, and his partner just had a kid. So congratulations to John.
And just... Yes. And a heads up to people, please don't, if you look up Surprise Enterprise, don't expect it to be this yeah. service.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't get confused with the surprise. When we launch, we'll have a different site, but yeah. the same great.
We'll announce it on here.
We'll announce it here. It'll be the same great concept and customer service. So yeah. So that's it. And Vanessa, do you want to introduce today's guest and potential investor in Surprise Enterprise?
Yes. It looks like he's getting more interested by the minute. So that's very exciting. Okay. Well, speaking of exciting, we're so excited about our guest today. He's truly a comedic force. He's an Emmy-nominated actor, writer, and comedian who you may know from his incredible work on Saturday Night Live, where he's played such iconic characters as the iceberg that sunk the Titanic, and more recently, a proud gay Oompa Loompa. Oh, you may also know him from starring in Noor from Queens or from his stellar podcast, Las Culturistas, which he does with fellow national treasure Matt Rogers right here on the Big Money Players Network. Please welcome our friend, Bowen Yang.
Hi. This idea sounds really interesting, but because of the outbound warehouse issues and the outbound logistics complications, for that reason, I'm in. Wow. Surprise Enterprise is really good.
Thank you, Bowen. Thank you. I've wanted that validation for so long from someone.
That's well, so nice, Bowen.
Here it is. Your dad didn't want to do it. I feel like subscription services like this are like on the way out. And so then we'll loop back around to this as a lucrative business in like 10 years when like people will have an appetite for it again.
Yeah.
So I feel like that you have time to like really develop this with John and with me and Vanessa if you want.
Right. Yeah, with this team, I think we could really pull together.
It's actually, that's a really good point, Bowen, is that like when it comes back around in 10 years, by then we'll have done so many podcasts and you'll have so many investors.
Yeah. I'm going to pitch all of our guests on this. So yes. In 10 years.
Everyone's going to start saying no because they're going to be like, Jonah does kind of a weird business pitch at the beginning. You just like sit through it and pretend you're going to invest.
I got to get Cuban on the line again. Got to get Cuban on. Bone, do you do any subscription services? Are you into it or not into it?
I only weirdly do one, and it feels very like out of character, and I kind of am a little embarrassed to admit this. I'm not embarrassed. I genuinely enjoy these, but like GQ does one that like where they send you like nice like soaps and you know like wipes and stuff.
That's so like, nice. I love that. That kind of stuff is so fun to get in the mail. It's such fun. Yeah.
They're all like usually sample sizes of like things, but like I just like that it's curated by like people with like better taste than me and things. And I'm like, oh, see, like I feel like I'm getting something out of this by having someone else make the decisions for me. And that's like the perennial appeal of Surprise Enterprise.
I totally agree.
Thank you for bringing it back around to that. But you're right. It is like when you're busy and stuff, you don't have time to like figure out. And then the nice thing about those things too, which is a lot of times why they do it, is if you like something,
you can buy. Have you guys ever like bought something off of like a sample that you're like, thank God I got that sample. Like, I don't know what my life would have been like without that sample.
Yes, totally. Totally. Like, especially weirdly, and I know that this is like the most like basic sample that a person can get, but weirdly like perfume samples because I'm not a person who like actively is like I need a new scent, but then I buy perfume and I never wear it, but I like perfumes. I love like perfume samples because I'm like, oh, I should get this. I should be a person who throws this on, you know.
It sounds really chic. Matt and I just bought a fragrance the other day, and I've never been this obsessed with it. But then I have friends who are like, why would you buy something? Why would you spend so much money on something you can't see? And I'm like, that's not the point.
No, that's not. Why would you spend money on food by that logic?
Oh, sure. You can see it. And that's sort of like ableist.
You're absolutely right.
For people who like can see.
Yeah, totally. Well, you can see a scent. It comes in a bottle.
Yeah.
That is true.
Right. You're right. And also smells are so powerful.
Honestly, sorry to link it so seamlessly to our podcast, but they're so nostalgic. When I smell CK1, it takes me back. I used to wear it to every bar and bat mitzvah in seventh grade. And so when I smell it now, it takes me back more strongly than I think any song or anything.
Yeah.
I so associate CK1 with
with
seventh grade
12.
Bar and bat mitzvahs. Yeah. Yeah, which I think is what Calvin Klein probably intended was I want this very like cool, co-ed, like exciting scent to be the thing that people wear to their bar and bat mitzvahs.
That makes sense because I feel like whatever, not to get all sciencey, but like I think olfactory memory is like the strongest memory.
Yeah.
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 I have a friend who I don't know if I talked about this podcast, who was hit by a truck on his bike and he lost his sense of smell. He's fine now. He's a super talented teacher, musician, but he, I asked him about it and he said, I was like, oh, does it affect the way you taste? And he was like, it more affects my memory.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. And I believe he had to actually prove it in court. I guess that, you know, there's some way they have to test it or something, you know.
Prove that he lost his sense of smell?
Yeah. I don't remember all the details, but yeah, I think because like, I guess anyone could be like, yeah, I can't smell anything.
They pull up a damn mud pie and they go, can yeah. you smell that? And if you don't make a face, and they go, Your Honor, he lost his sense of smell. He can't smell the poo.
Yeah.
I'm really like on a poop kick. Vanessa was on my podcast and I did a whole I Don't Think So Honey about poop on the toilet. I don't know what's yeah. going on.
You know, sometimes that's just what is on your mind, you know?
I've really been thinking about poop and pee and like... I think they're like really, and Dude Wipes with Katie Couric, that's right, our head of content right. Hans is saying that. Like, I feel like pooping and peeing are like the last universal human experiences left. Like, everyone is so like divided on everything else, but like, we can all, like, it's that thing, like everybody poops. Like, that's never been more true.
Yeah, that really is true. I was just thinking, no, I was seriously just thinking about like in 10 years, will some people be like doing something else with their poop? Not to get like yeah. too disgusting, but like,
no, you're right.
Because you know how people do like colonics and stuff? Like, mm-hmm. will some people just set thing that they do?
Yeah.
And will that be a sign of like wealth and prosperity?
Oh, of course. There's going to be some status assigned to the way we like piss and shit. I think yeah. for sure. That's no, you're so prescient, Vanessa.
Thank you. Thank you.
I was, you know, when we were talking about the curation too, I wanted to sort of add, like, are you kind of like over people curating? Like, you made a playlist and now you're a curator. Do you feel like that term is like a little overused?
No, absolutely not. This is the culture sort of swapping in curator when they just mean like, oh, this person made a decision.
yes, yeah. exactly. Although I do have to say, I got a suit for my wedding at Bonobos. You and Matt's face were all over, and I ended up buying,
no.
I think I texted you, I ended up buying some shirts that you two designed. They were so cool.
And, I don't think we designed them.
Well, the woman working there told me like this
that
shirt Bonobos. Yes, yes.
That's they were a like, lie.
Yes, like three or four of the design, they were like, oh, Matt and Bowen designed this one. I was like, oh, this one's cool. And then I felt bad buying
anything.
Ones that you didn't design. I was like, wow, they're so talented.
I said something to Matt about it, too. I was like, Jonah got some shirts that you and Bowen designed. And he was like, I don't think we designed them.
Anytime it's like J-Lo designed this line of whatever, I'm like, it's so funny to me. I picture the person like sitting down at like a workstation, like making little sketches. And I'm like, that makes me laugh so much. It's so, it tickles me so.
I really was like, oh, Bowen, they picked this shade of green. Like, they were probably looking at all these samples, trying to figure out which one was perfect. I really thought that.
They were
I
like,
wish.
This really complements this. Let's do this. And maybe it's a floral. It's maybe like an abstract floral.
So what other like product lines are you working on right now, Bowen?
I don't have... I would love to actually make a candle, even though it's so housewives-y. Vanessa knows. It's such a housewives trope. But I really would love to make a candle. I'm not working on one. I don't have any product lines coming out.
Would it be a one-wick or a three-wick?
It would be one. A three-wick, I think of like, okay, either you're a spa or yeah. this is the backyard of like a house in
it
Arizona.
It feels very citronella. It feels very
so
like...
So citronella.
Yeah, yeah. Though don't tell Karen that.
I mean, I'll still buy the Karen candle, but
of
I mean,
course.
I'm one wick. So it's Jonah, there's this whole like culture war on the Real Housewives of Potomac between two of the housewives who are each coming out with their own candles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
One of them has three wicks. One of them has one.
And the one with three wicks was trying to kind of give advice to the one with one wick and never really kind of disclose that she's working on her own candle. And she was like, and then later in testimonials, she was like, well, we're not doing the same thing. Mine has three wicks, hers has one wick.
totally different.
She also kind of was being like a little shit. Like she was like, in three wicks, like can fill like a much larger. She was kind of being like, in three wicks is a better investment. You know what I mean? Type of
yeah,
a thing.
But yeah.
Anyway,
I would love to do a candle soon.
I could see you doing a great candle, finding a great scent. And and what would you call it?
Oh my God, this is so hard. Doug. It would be called poo. Doug said poo. Doug. I'd say anti-piss. I'd be anti-piss. Anti-piss.
I love that. Because you know how there's like that boy sense company where it's like
boy smells, yeah.
Boy smells. Uh-huh. And what are theirs called?
It used to be like coin and it would smell like a coin and I hated that one. I got it's like yeah. Someone gave me that and I was like, don't give me a candle that smells like a dirty coin.
Yeah.
But then now they like taking themselves more seriously and it's like, oh, like Fleur Fantôme or whatever, you know, like now it's like yeah. chic names.
Got it. I'm glad they started giving themselves the respect and taking themselves seriously.
That's when everything can change for you. If you start to respect yourself,
yeah.
The possibilities open.
Yeah.
Bone, are you like a soy-based candle or what's your sort of...
I'm going to do wood candle? Wick. So it's not going to be like your traditional like wick that like is sooty. The wood wicks are burned so clean. And then I'm probably going to do a soy. Yeah. Soy seems the most sustainable.
Are the wood wicks the ones that kind of crackle?
Yeah, they crackle a little too much and it is a little scary.
But fun at the same time.
But fun and like, I love that it's like three strips of wood just like coming up out of the wax. Like it kind of looks interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I think for Surprise Enterprise, we could get you involved. Your candles could be a great surprise item for our customers.
I would be so thrilled.
Well, obviously for a price, you'd have to invest.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah. We can talk about that later.
Okay.
We're going to take a break, but me and Bowen are going to work out some details, and we'll be back right after this. And we're back. So, Bowen, we reached out to you before this interview and asked you to come up with a topic you wanted to discuss today, and your topic is Digimon.
Digimon.
Short for digital monsters. Mm-hmm. So, for our listeners who may not be familiar with Digimon, could you talk a little bit about them and maybe your relationship?
Yes. So, Digimon was this television show based on a manga, a comic series, I think by Toei and Bandai Namco something. And really big in the late 90s, early aughts, sort of the rival to Pokemon as a franchise. Pokemon in its heyday. I mean, Pokemon is still in its heyday. Well, who am I kidding?
Right.
But in the beginning of Pokemon, Digimon was sort of the closest, I would say, not competitor. It was just something you would watch. And then I ended up really developing stronger feelings to Digimon just because the monsters could talk. So in Pokemon, the monsters, there's about 150 of them in the first generation, and they can only say their names. Pikachu can only say Pikachu, right? And so, but in Digimon, you have a Digidestined in the first season. You have these kids who each have only one Digimon, and the Digimon would be able to speak English to them, or Japanese, depending on which version you were watching. And then they would save the digital world, and therefore save the real world by making sure that the digital analog world was safe from these threats that like really would have destroyed society, specifically Japan. And and yeah, I mean, it was just like, it was just a really beautiful show.
Got it. Now were you also into the Digimon toy?
There weren't that many toys. I was like about like 12, 13 years old when Digimon was like, when I was okay. Like peak Digimon, which like I was too old to like this, some might say. But I really enjoyed it. But they came out with a Digivice. So every Digidestined, every human being who had a Digimon was able to sort of like connect with their Digimon with this Digivice, just kind of like a little Tamagotchi situation. Yeah. So I did have that, yeah.
You did, because we were researching, it seems like they kind of marketed Tamagotchi to like teenage girls or something,
yeah,
or they thought that, so this was kind of like the more masculine equivalent for boys. And it seemed a little bit more aggressive too, because whereas Tamagotchi were more like kind of like cute pets.
Yes.
Digimon, they were saying, were kind of like little monsters.
Little monsters. And you would fight with them and they would evolve. And then they would like revert back to their like base forms. But you could like, you know, you would start off with a cute little bird, and then it would evolve all the way up to this like crazy phoenix or this angel woman with like breasts. Like, it was really like Digimon was very expansive in the way that it the designs are crazy. The designs are insane. Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm jumping all over the place, but like, there was just so much there. But yeah, I did have the Digivice, and it was a step counter too, so it like got me to like walk around as a kid.
Oh, wow.
And God, I like really was obsessed with that thing. And like anytime like my parents would like take us out to like some like dinner party at some family's house, like I would just like be in the basement by myself, just like pacing around, playing around with I had the Digimon cards. They're like Pokemon, they were Digimon cards. I really got into it.
We learned that the virtual pet Digimon was banned in some Asian schools by being considered by parents and teachers as very noisy and violent.
Oh, interesting. See, I think they might have sold a different device in Asia than they did in America.
Okay.
In America, it was a pretty basic. There wasn't anything too special about it, but it was just like, I couldn't believe that it was from the show. Like, that's what the appeal was to me. But in Asia, I did hear about this, like, the noises that the thing made were crazy.
Yeah, it seems like they were very loud. It seems like to you, like the show was really your...
Yes.
Yeah.
The show got me like, honestly, into like a writer brain or into like storytelling, because there would be these season long arc. Like Pokemon, it was like never about like an arc. It was just about like, okay, this one kid has to fight these different gym leaders. But Digimon, like every season had like a serialized thing. And like, it was the kind of like the first time that I was able to be like, oh, like I can make up my own monsters and make up my own like stories. And then just like, it wasn't even fan fiction. I was like starting off, like I was like in my own sketchbooks, like drawing character designs for like my own animated show. And it kind of like lit that fuse. I know that sounds really silly, but like it got me going in that like direction. And then I just like started like drawing a bunch of stuff. And like, I think like Digimon is like the catalyst for all of that.
What else was like 2003, 2002? What else was like a teenage Bone Yang kind of into at that point?
I was all over the place. Like, it would be like Digimon. It would be like those shows. Like, I didn't grow up with cable, so like I really had to like make do with the stuff that was like on Saturday mornings on like WB and Fox Kids. And then it would be like reading like Sister to the Traveling Pants, and then like watching like Mean Girls in the theater three times. Like, I was like so like figuring out how to be like a boy and like genuinely like be interested in like these boy things, but then be like, but I like all the girly stuff too. And like, really was like, that was the tension there. I was being pulled in a lot of different directions.
You have an older sister?
Yeah. She was kind of like my back door. She was like smuggling in all the girly stuff. Like, it was just in front of me. Like, she had like the Sister of the Traveling Pants on her bookshelf.
Yeah.
And then I would like steal it. I didn't steal. I would just take it from her shelf and read it and then hide it under the bed because I didn't want my parents to see or her to see. Like, it was just like, this was like a very tumultuous time for me.
I'm sure. Yeah. But you figured it out. I mean, and I'm sure all of that, I mean, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants is so good.
It's so good.
All of that stuff. I mean, with Jonah being my older brother, like, I feel like I watched a lot of, like, I don't think I would know as many metal songs from.
Yeah, which is coming super handy for you, I'm sure.
But honestly, probably has.
You know, we wrote one sketch on SNL called Girls Can Rock, which never made it on. But so that was helpful. But you do sort of, I think even like I just feel like you just get influenced by your older siblings.
100%
stuff, no matter what. And that sort of informs your personality in one way or another. Like, I'm a huge rocker now.
Are you?
Huge.
No, I'm not. But I have an interest in, I probably am more interested in music. What if I was like, and then I like got up and I brought you all my guitars and stuff and was like, this is my first Les Paul. I know that name because of Jonah. But it definitely like influences your life.
For sure. But like Digimon was like something that I found like on my
own.
Your own. And so that maybe that's why like I have like a more severe attachment to it.
Yeah.
And I honestly haven't been able to talk about it, or haven't been given a chance to talk about it in a very long time. So I this is all coming out very jumbled and unorganized. But like, if there's anything, if you have any questions about Digimon, I'm happy to answer them to the best of my ability.
We were doing research about the show and about the toy and everything, and it says several anime series have been produced since 1999. But I'm curious, I wonder if it still exists in any form.
I think they've rebooted it, and there are some really pretty well-received video games that have come out in the last like 5 years or so. I just think there's something really... Okay, so let me just lay this out for you guys. For the TV show... I think they did a very clever thing, which is the first season is it's these kids who are all in middle school in Japan, and then they get sucked into the digital world, which is this like fantasy like world where like all these monsters are running around. And then the villains of that digital world come out into the real world, and then they have to go back to the real world and stop this villain, Paimon. Anyway, that doesn't matter. But they do. That's the first season. Season two is like 4 years later. One of the younger kids grows up and is in like high school and makes friends with a new set of kids, and they go into the digital world. And then the same thing happens. Basically, that it all spills out into the real world. They have to save the real world. The third season is very clever in that it makes it a show within a show, so that the first two seasons of Digimon are like an actual television show in the world of the third season. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that sounds pretty meta.
It's very meta. And like for a kids show, like it was like three, it was like three kids in like real Tokyo being like, oh, like Digimon's a thing, and like they love the show. And then, oh my God, they get their own Digimon, and Digimon are real in like this, in this world. Like it kind of was like pretty mature, developed storytelling, I think. And that's like all Japanese stuff, I feel like, is like very high concept no matter what.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, that's like the first three seasons.
Hans was telling us that it has a very iconic theme song.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on the theme? Could you maybe talk about that a little?
It's a gorgeous theme song. There's like an operatic quality to it. So like the main chorus of it is Digimon, digital monsters, Digimon are the champion. And it's just this guy with like a really fun poppy voice just like singing it. And then it all of a sudden goes into this like different vocalist who like in like a dropped in like opera voice is like, change into digital champions to save the digital world. And like, it's just, it was the craziest theme song. Like Pokemon was very like epic rock, but it was just like a truly like crazy pastiche of musical styles. And that's why I appreciate like that time in like children's television and in children's anime.
We're gonna listen to the song. Here we go.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like David Bowie.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Totally.
I'm so impressed by this.
Yeah. I feel like pumped up now. I mean,
I feel ready to start my day.
It's a floor filler. Like, if that came on at the club, you would rush to the floor.
And you're right. There is a very Bowie-esque element.
Yeah, it's Bowie. That's what it was. I was like, operatic isn't right. It's Bowie. Like the person was like, I'm going to do my Bowie impression. And it worked. Like, I like really, really loved that song.
Yeah. I mean, do you think, like you said, these kind of Japanese cartoons are more high concept? Yeah. Cause I feel like here, like the theme song for Tiny Toons or something. I mean, they're like these like very basic songs. I mean, that is a really kind of layered texture experience.
I just went to like that Academy Museum thing, and they have like a Miyazaki exhibit. And I'm just walking around. I'm like, oh, these are all like high concepts. Not that like Miyazaki is the same as Digimon, but I'm like, see, like there was just like, I like that a lot of those anime shows from my childhood that like were like broadcast in America. I was like, I like that they like went there, even though they were kid shows, that like these were like really like, they didn't like dumb things down for like a child or a teenager. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, you know, you might not know this, but I studied children's media in college.
Mm-hmm. I think I did know this.
Well,
you kind of talk about it a lot.
I guess I do. But, you know, like that was like, that's like the thing with like Sesame Street is that like parents, they made it so that like parents could watch it with the kids because it was like so not talking down to kids in a way that would be like interesting for people of any ages to watch. So like, I do think there is something to like a show, even if it's for kids, being mm-hmm. like giving kids the respect of like, you're people who are smart and you want to see something that's good.
And here's like a sophisticated story, you know, like,
yeah.
here's like something that like will maybe get you whatever inspired to like think about things this way, like that. I truly know that sounds so silly or cloying or whatever, but I really did like it, like lit this spark in me to be like, whoa, I can like make up my own stuff. Like, it really like got me. It was because it wasn't fan fiction again. It was like my own like IP. Like,
yeah.
It was like, this is.
And you know, it really shows. I feel like on Saturday Night Live, you, so many of your characters are so imaginative. And it's like, I could see how a show like this, like got you to sort of, you know, I'm sure it influenced you. And I, in a way that you were like, I can create my own things. And like, you know, there's endless possibilities to do that. And clearly like a very imaginative person. So I'm sure that that was like such a influential thing for you.
I love that you tied Digimon to SNL.
I did.
They're very similar.
They're very similar. I mean, honestly, almost the same. But I've said it before and I'll say it again. Anytime you're on screen, my heart is filled with joy.
Come on.
You're so fun to watch. You're so, put me at ease in a way.
That's
you're just,
so nice.
You're just incredible on that show and an incredible talent in general.
Thanks, Vanessa.
Sorry,
Jonah, your turn.
Yeah, I mean,
don't do it.
You know, me and Bo and Woe together on Search Party, the podcast.
I feel like we like were like in the same battalion of some war.
That's great, but I also wanted to say I'm feeling a little insecure because I'm the only one here, I just realized, who hasn't been nominated for an Emmy.
Wow, you will.
Wow, you will, Jonah.
You will.
Jonah?
Next week.
Next week.
We'll they're see. Announcing nominees we'll
when are
next
they,
week.
They're announcing them next week?
For Best Enterprises.
Best business idea. Best idea for a curated business.
All right. I got to submit that.
Best
I guess curator. I got to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jonah, yeah.
I hope I. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for both of you for your support. That really means a lot.
You're on your way. You know?
Yeah. I'm on my way.
Also, I'm sure the Digimon people, sorry to take it, I'm sure like they're so excited that you're such a big fan of theirs, Bowen.
Well, I don't know that there are. I'm sure there are Digimon. There are Digimon boards, like message boards. I just don't know that, like, it really is like a silent community. Like, there's no like Pokemon fans are still like, you know, running rampant on Instagram, like posting all their stuff. Like, there's like all my Discover page is just Pokemon stuff. And there's such a Pokemon Instagram subculture. Like, Digimon, like, I feel like it's been like a little bit buried under a lot of other stuff. And it gets kind of like short shrift in terms of like nostalgia. People don't like remember Digimon fondly. People like to like rag on it or make fun of it for being like a Pokemon clone, which I don't think it is.
Yeah.
I just think like Digimon is the perfect sort of like specific fandom that like isn't like, it's not cool necessarily to like it. I'm sorry to Digimon. I think Digimon people, if you're listening, if you're really honest with yourselves, like, you don't like Digimon because it's cool. You like it because there's like an earnestness and there's like something kind of cheesy about it, which is why I love it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I feel like sometimes there's like a more legit version of something that's actually like more interesting. But the thing that catches on is the thing that's like trendier or whatever. I mean, I talked about this. talked about this recently, and this is so different, but I feel like the band, the female hair band that people love from the 80s is Heart, whereas I loved Vixen, and I do think that Vixen was I don't mean to talk about Vixen every week, but I feel like Vixen was more like a little bit more, they were less popular, but they had like more edge to them in a way that is like, that's what that movement kind of was. And by the way, every time I've made this comparison, I love Heart. I don't mean to put Heart down.
No,
and I
we
know
love
that
Heart.
We love Heart. But I'm just saying, like, it wasn't maybe as cool or trendy to like Vixen, and I have to stop talking about the same things every week, or people are gonna stop listening.
Is T-Pow like in the same neighborhood? What's that band called? Give a little bit of heart and soul.
Oh,
get a little bit of love to grow. That's T-Pow. I think they were like, yeah, they're like another 80s girl hair group. Yeah. That I'm like, they don't get enough love.
They don't get very little. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
This is like true of any fandom. Like there is some like alternative to whatever the mainstream thing is. But Digimon is even, Digimon is like definitely that, but it's also like idiosyncratic in its own way. And it feels something, it feels like something different. And it feels like if you know, you know, it's one of those things anyway.
Yeah. I find it very interesting the way, I mean, obviously this is what your podcast with Maz about, how you view things through like the culture or like this kind of bigger picture. Is that something, is that like just kind of a viewpoint you think you have on a lot of things? Is that like a natural way for you to look at things? Or
I feel like I don't know what I'm talking about most of the time. I don't
know. That's how I feel too.
Yeah, I'm kind of just shooting from the hip with anything I say.
Yeah.
But Matt is very knowledgeable. Matt like knows his stuff. He knows how he feels about it. He like is drawing from like a huge well of experience or whatever. I'm just kind of like, oh yeah, I think this is what that means. Like I'm very like,
I think you know a lot of stuff. I think you guys both just approach things differently, so which makes your podcast so fun to listen to, because it's like you're coming from kind of different angles and the way you approach, I guess, maybe culture.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Maybe I don't know. I just I don't know. I never get to talk about this stuff. It's just people like kind of like have to learn about it. I think people want to like talk about things that they already sort of might know about.
Well, it's funny when you were talking about Pokemon, I was like, I didn't the whole time, and it literally until like 2 minutes ago, you guys are going to think this is so dumb.
No.
I was thinking of Pogs.
Oh. They're not Pogs.
And I was like, was there a Pogs show? And
no, Pokemon had the resurgence because of the Pokemon Go thing. Is it true, Bowen?
Oh, which was the thing where you would see a Pokemon on the street and you would like take a picture with your phone? Was that
It was like the augmented reality, and you would like, and the, you know, people would be running around. And there was that 1 week in 2016 in the summer where everyone was playing it, or not everyone, but like people,
I so remember that.
Yeah.
People being like backyards and shit. People like, get out of my backyard. It's like, there's a Vaporeon here. We have to like come and catch it. Like there was, that was like the last true moment of like societal bliss that we experienced before things like all went bad.
Jonah and I went to a Yankees game with Lauren's tickets, which, have you done that yet?
I've done that. Yeah, it's fun. Hey.
But anyways, I remember us leaving the game and like being on the, people were like playing it on the street. Like I remember being like starting to play, and it was like the Pokemon are in this. You've got to be careful around traffic.
No, so
it was
careful.
It
was crazy.
It's crazy. Anyway, feels like no matter what Pokemon like would try and do, what cool virtual games they try to come up with, they never really had the storytelling or the actual cred of Digimon.
Well, Pokemon was just kind of retreading the same thing over and over again, story-wise. Digimon was like truly like, let's really... And then, so the fourth season, I believe, it's like the humans become the Digimon. Like, it was really trying to reinvent, like, constantly. Like, and maybe it didn't work all the time, but I was just like, I respect the risk-taking that's going on here.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with Bowen. And we're back. Now, Bowen, we would like to play a game with you that we call Yes-stalgia.
Yes-stalgia.
Or No-stalgia.
No-stalgia.
Ready? Okay, so basically, we discuss an item or pop culture phenomenon from the past that's coming back, and we all vote on whether it's a yes-stalgia or a no-stalgia. Like, if, you know, obviously, if you're into it, yes, and not into it, no.
Got it. Love it.
This first one was suggested by our producers. They thought you may have some strong opinions on this.
Oh, no.
And this is the Cowboy Bebop live-action remake for Netflix.
Okay. They just dropped a trailer this week. I really want it to succeed. I just think people have been burned in the past. I haven't been burned, but there was a Death Note adaptation that was live action on Netflix that people really didn't like because people really love the original anime series. There's potential for that to happen here because Cowboy Bebop is such a, like, people really love it. I have not finished it. I'm bad. I've watched it and I've enjoyed it. And I think, but I've always thought to myself, how are they going to make this live? But I think John Cho is going to be so good. I can't wait to see it. I don't have, I'll say yes, Stelja.
And just to be clear, okay. So this was a Japanese anime series.
Yes.
And so this is, they're bringing it.
They're making it live action to Netflix.
So it seems very exciting.
It's like such a genius show. It's like spaghetti Western in space with like a film noir, with like a noir sheen on it. It's like really interesting. It's such a sexy show and it's like really cool and funny. And I hope it'll be good. I think it might be.
I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah.
I watched the trailer and it had kind of almost like a James Bond kind of vibe to it as well.
Yeah.
Would you say that's true? Okay.
There's a James Bond vibe to it. There's like Tarantino / spaghetti Western, but it depends on like what you think is like the source or the inspiration. Like,
yeah,
there's like a bunch of stuff going on and it all works based on the original anime. But I think yes-stalgia.
Okay, great.
All right, we got a yes-stalgia from Bowen. Vanessa, what about you?
I gotta give this a yes-stalgia. I mean, just the name alone, Cowboy Bebop, to me,
it's a great name.
So much fun. I mean, I'm having a blast just saying it. So I'm excited to see it. It sounds very cool. Now I want to watch the anime version too, but the live action, that seems incredible. I'm into
the anime version. It's like 22 minute episodes. There's only 20. It's not like multiple seasons. It was only one season, 26 episodes. You can do the English dub or you can do the subtitles. Like it's really watchable. It's really digestible.
Oh, great.
I think.
Okay. Yeah. I'll check it out. Jonah, would you give this a
yes?
Yeah,
I'm going to yes-stalgia this as well. Okay. I'm always looking for new stuff to watch. Looks fun. Mm-hmm. I'm totally down with this.
Great.
Okay, great. That was unanimous. Now, our next topic, Bowen, is that after 10 years, Oreo Cakesters are coming back.
I don't think I had them.
Haven't had them? They're basically like...
Cakesters.
They're like an Oreo with vanilla filling, but instead of the wafers of an Oreo, it's like a cake. Like kind of like a moist kind of cake with Oreo filling in the middle.
I love anything Oreo. Sure, yeah. let's say yes, Stelja.
Yeah. Now you know, Jonah had a question based on this article that talks about it had a term that Jonah didn't know in it.
Yeah, I got to give the context a little bit.
Okay.
So this is like I talk about this in the podcast all the time. These like corporate Twitter accounts that are like try to use this like millennial slang, but you know it's written by this like 50-year-old guy.
Uh-huh.
But I actually don't know a lot of these terms because I'm like a 42-year-old guy. But Oreo Cookie posted, and I didn't know what this meant. I had to look it up. I'm curious if you know what this term. I'm sure you will know.
Okay,
what it
means. Maybe I won't.
Oreo posted a photo of the new box for the Cakesters and said, "Talk about a glow up."
Okay.
Coming back early 2022.
Okay.
Do you know what glow up means?
Yeah, I think I do. Okay. But it's sort of implied. Like, can you, like, based on context clues, can you not tell what a glow up is?
I don't know. I guess.
Good for you, Bowen, for making Jonah answer his own question.
Yeah, I guess at the time, I just didn't really understand. I was like, glow up.
It's like a level up. It's like.
Do they glow?
It's like, you know, when you like put on a nice serum or, you know, you've just come from the spa, you have a nice glow about you. It's like you've gone through something and therefore you've like made a quantum leap up to the next level.
Yeah. You've kind of like upped your game. It's a glow up.
Got it. Well, then, you know, to keep this theme going, there's also a Nutter Butter flavor.
Oh.
Of the Cakesters.
The only difference is that filling in the middle will be
the filling
it's
is like different.
A Nutter Butter Cakester.
That's a no nostalgia because I don't like peanut butter in my cake. I love peanut butter everywhere else. I don't like it in like cakey stuff.
Well, Nutter Butter had to reply to this glow up tweet, by the way. And they had to write, you know, post theirs and say twinning.
Oh, no.
That made Jonah furious.
It's something about it is so gross to me or something, even though I know it's like fun, but you're like getting people to like engage, but you're just trying to sell them something. Like, you don't care about this like this is all marketing to you, but right. you're trying to make it like funny or like cool. Something about it bugs me. I don't know. Is that just a weird personality quirk of me?
Do you think it loops back around to being like ironic and funny? Like now that like it's like being like thrown around by like these corporate accounts, like I feel like it's sort of fun now. Like I haven't heard someone actually say twinning in a long time, but now that Nutter Butter right. is saying it, I'm like, that's kind of funny.
yeah maybe it's
I guess maybe the thing is like maybe Jonah lighten up a little.
No, I don't think it's anything wrong with you.
Well, it is funny because it's like in their marketing for them to say like talk about a glow up. Am I supposed to see that as a consumer and go like they have a great sense of humor? I gotta check well, these yeah. out.
There was another tweet I saw recently from Dunkin' Donuts where they were like, ordering my drink ahead of time makes me feel expensive. and I was like, what? Like, is this a term? And like, people are like, I don't know. It's just so wow. weird. Like marketing, I just feel like these people have no idea like how to sell things anymore to millennials. And so they're just like, how can we connect?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is, you know what I think about this, not to bring up something Vanessa's been in, but I think about this episode of Shrill all the time where it's Vanessa's like the person who runs this like women's conference.
Right.
Right.
Waham. It was an episode written by right. Studi Green, a friend of ours, Studi Green. And the whole like point of the episode is like she like goes to 80s character goes to this like convention that's very like pop feminism, like watered down, like bullshit. And she's like, who's this for? And it's like, well, it is for some people who like have nothing in common with her necessarily. Like it is for this like swath of the population that like needs this kind of thing in order to like understand conceptually certain things. And so I kind of, anytime someone like rags on like, I don't know, like some like bastardized version of like something that like we used to hold dear that we used to think was like pretty niche or something, I'm just like, well, you know, if this is like helping someone like engage with the culture in a way, like if they see like Oreo cakesters talking about having a glow up and they think it's funny because it's like a reference to something that they recognize from their own lives, then like maybe that's nice. I don't know. But I'm not, but the point is not Jonah lighten up. It is kind of crazy. It is crazy that these things happen.
I think that's a good point. Well, I mean, Bone, you're like sort of considered this like iconic millennial kind of voice. So
no. Sorry,
I think
true.
It's true.
No.
It's true. So I was that's why I was really especially interested in getting your output. And I think you have a really good
positive
perspective
take.
On this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a really healthy perspective
yeah.
on it.
Yeah. Thanks. So maybe we need to back off of Oreo cakesters and Nutter Butter cakesters.
But I'm still nostalgia on Nutter Butter cakesters.
Okay. So you're yesstalgia on the original cakester yes. return, but nostalgia on the Nutter Butter.
And I'm sorry, I don't like Nutter Butter.
Okay.
I get that. I mean, I don't agree with you, but I get that. Now, I also want to just say something before we move on. Oreo cakesters, you know, they're coming back in 2022. They were around from 2007 to 2012. Since that time, in 2019 and 2021, there were two change.org petitions to bring them back. I think we've got to like make a, we need to like make a list of all of the snack foods that have had petitions on change.org to bring them back. But just something that always surprises Jonah and I is the number of snack foods that have change.org petitions when, again, we've said it before, we'll say it again, not what we think the intended use of change.org.
I just think it's so funny. Like a snack is discontinued like 5 years later, someone's like, I'm going to start this. I got to go to change.org. We need direct action. Yeah, it's just such a funny place to go for something like that is equated generally with like social change.
And yes. some poor like team yeah. manager in like DC has to like wake up and like go through well these are the big like high click through petitions and I'm on the snack beat.
Yeah. 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 Okay, we are ready for our third and final yes nostalgia. Jonah, do you want to introduce it as someone who has actually kind of a connection to it?
Yeah, so this is about the return of Toys R Us.
Oh, by the way, did we give our... Oh, I give Oreo cakesters a yesstalgia, Jonah. What about you?
Yeah, yesstalgia.
Okay, I'm
sure.
So sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
So the return of Toys R Us was announced back in March when WHP Global acquired the parent company of the toy store and says looking to reopen some of its physical stores by the end
really?
Of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
And they will do pop-up shops, flagships, pop-ups, airport shops, as well as mini shops within other retailers across North America.
Wow.
Ahead of the 2021 holiday season. It looks like they're going to do some in Macy's or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So obviously iconic brand. And yeah, Vanessa's referring to the fact that I worked in high school at a Kids R Us.
Kids R Us, same owners.
God. Which was, yeah. It was me and all these like punk kids. And
that's
like,
cool.
Like, the suburban punk scene somehow took over this Kids R Us. And yeah, I mean, I remember I'd wear JNCOs and this like blue vest. Like, I probably like was not the person you want to buy clothes for your little
but
kid
I bet
from.
You were
I
had no, very good
no,
employee.
I'm sure, I was very nice.
I'm sure everyone was really good.
Yeah, it was fine. But I remember us just like going in the back store and being like, we should play basketball with this bot. Like, we would just like mess around. We got our bags checked every night when we left for work, which I thought was so funny like because it's like, what am I going to steal?
Kids clothes. Yeah.
And we also couldn't accept those Jeffrey dollars because they were so widely counterfeited that we just stopped taking them. Or they discontinued them. But that was one of my first jobs I had in high school. And I think I just had it because my friends worked there. I don't think I
really... Well, you know, Joni, we used to exclusively shop there as kids. I hope you know. I mean, I remember getting an outfit that was like a denim outfit. It had a bunch of gold, different like chains and peace signs all over it.
Wow. Yeah. They had some like these big like life-size games there. And I think
at
they were
Kids
mostly gone. Yeah, they're mostly gone or broke. I don't know if Vanessa, you remember this. You'd like go up and press buttons on these big things. I think they were gone by the time or broken, but in the late 90s, we said remnants of them, but that was really fun as kids. Bowen, did you go shopping at Kids R Us as a kid at all?
I never went to Kids R Us.
Okay.
And Toys R Us was...
Toys R Us.
Well, Toys R Us was this very emotional thing for me because my sister and I would always beg to go. And my parents would be like, no, we're not going. It's too expensive. And if we buy you toys, then you're not going to do your home. It was this thing like we can never go. I think I've only set foot in a Toys R Us like twice.
Wow.
And the second one was like the one in Times Square, which I went to as an adult and I still loved.
Same. I went to when I first got on SNL, I went to it.
It's so fun inside.
It was incredible.
So fun.
Especially, yeah. Did you walk through the Barbie area? There's like a whole Barbie, like
there was a whole Barbie area. There was like a whole Bionicle Lego area. Like,
oh,
it's a magical
God.
Place.
And there's a Ferris wheel in the middle. Right?
That's right. It's crazy. Oh my God.
It's
Toys R
so
Us.
So crazy. But yeah, so you always wanted to go as a kid.
It was just like at Christmas. Like, it was always like, can we buy something from Toys R Us? And it was like, no, we're shopping at like Costco instead, and it's gonna be like a book, you know, like that was Toys R Us like represented like something that like I couldn't ever touch or attain. And I don't know, like it doesn't take away from like the beauty and legacy of Toys R Us.
Yeah.
But for me, I'm just like, wow, like it was like America Ferrera's character in Sister of the Traveling Pants watching the family eat dinner without her and she throws a brick through the window. Like I don't know, like I like wanted to be part of it so badly.
Yeah.
And I wanted to throw a brick at the Toys R Us.
Do you think they're going to bring back the song that goes like this? I don't want to grow up, because if I did, I wouldn't be a Toys R Us kid.
That's so beautiful.
Thank you.
Wow. I forgot about that song.
That's the song.
But the way you sang it was so powerful. It's so Vanessa. It's Vanessa. Anyway.
So, I mean, I don't think we really have to guess, but is this a yes-stalgia or a no-stalgia for you?
Well, I'm torn because I don't want this to be a thing where it comes back and then it doesn't succeed and then it like fails again.
Right. Right, right, right.
I can't handle that. I can't handle Toys R Us dying on me twice.
Well, what I will say is that I do think the fact that they're doing pop-ups, airport shops, and mini stores within other retailers is kind of smart. I mean, there will be some flagship stores, but I think that's like a good way to kind of like integrate. You know, I don't think they're bringing back those huge, only those huge stores, which are probably quite an investment.
But I was going to say like, Don't put in all this money with the pop-up into these pop-ups. Just open back up the Times Square location. And yeah. honestly, there was a Toys R Us location in the Bronx when I was in college, and I was playing Pokemon, sorry Digimon, but I was still playing the Pokemon games, and you could only get specific rare, super rare Pokemon, like once in a lifetime, like they'll never release the Pokemon again, and you could only get them from Toys R Us locations. And the one in Times Square, for some reason, didn't have it, so my friends and I went all the way up to the Bronx. We were like 19 years old. In like the dead of winter, and like went to this Toys R Us, and the employees were so nice and so helpful, and it was a lovely store. So aww. You know what? I love Toys R Us so much. So I will say yesstalgia.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a yesstalgia from Bowen. Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, I went to school in Ithaca, New York. I went to Ithaca College, and when you go in Ithaca, or like, oh, go to school in Ithaca, everyone's like, oh, did you go to Cornell? And you're like, no, I didn't. And that's how I felt working at Kids R Us. Everyone's like, oh, you work at Toys R Us? And I was like, no, I work at the one that sells like clothes for kids, not
wow,
like
I didn't realize
toys.
That. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That, yeah. So damn. I feel I also, like you, Bone, have sort of complex yeah. feelings about it. But I say, yeah, sure. I mean, I think, you know, anything that gets people out of the house, everyone buys stuff online. So I think anything that gets you out of the house into a store and interacting with the world, that's great.
Okay, so that's a yesstalgia for you.
More power to
them.
That's a yesstalgia for me. What about you, Vanessa?
I have less deep-seated emotional kind of feelings about this, but I would give it a yesstalgia. I mean, I'm so into toy stores. I think they're so fun. And having gone to the one in Times Square, which was so incredible, it's like, you know, and of course that, I mean, I guess we've heard a couple song. Beautiful songs, but just having such a beautiful song, I mean, that alone make, you know, so I'm, and what's the name of the giraffe?
Jeffrey.
Yeah. I hope they bring Jeffrey back, even though RIP Jeffrey Dollars or whatever.
Jeffrey Dollars. Yeah. Sounds like Jeffrey Dahmer.
It does.
It does sound like Jeffrey Dahmer. I wonder if anyone has Jeffrey Dollars they've been like hoarding for the last 10
yeah.
years. It's like, oh, can I find
yeah.
them?
Yeah, can I use these? They should do some kind of promotion with
promotion.
That. Yeah. Some yeah. kind of customized promotion.
Well, that was so fun. Bowen, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you everyone for listening. If you enjoyed that, please subscribe to the podcast and keep an eye out for next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird, where we will discuss more stories from our childhood and cultural milestones like Digimon.
Thank you. Thank you for giving us space to talk about Digimon.
Thank you. And everyone, please listen to Las Culturistas.
And check out Bowen's upcoming designs.
Yes!